The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we come to our scripture readings and we're going to be looking at John's Gospel and his recording of what happened on that first Easter. So we're looking from John chapter 20 verses 1 to 10 and then verses 19 to 23. It says this: "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.' So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were staying." From verse 19. "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" One of the inventions that has changed our lives more than many others has been the light bulb. And with the light bulb, we use it to light up our homes. We use it to control traffic in intersections through traffic lights. We use them to see where the car in front of us is going through its tail lights, through its indicators. We use it for our own car to see where we're going with headlights. We use lights in our streets to make it safe to walk down. We use lights to in the theatre or in cinemas to light up the set. There's so many ways, it's endless the way that we use lights. Our lives have been completely changed since the invention of light bulbs. But this invention was not a random chance. In fact, it was a result of many years of work. Thomas Edison was the one who invented the first commercially viable light bulb. He patented it in 1879. The hard part was actually finding the right material to make the filament inside the bulb. They had 3,000 prototypes. 3,000 times they tried different products to try and find the right thing to make a commercially viable light bulb. After over 2 years of trying different products, over 3,000 different experiments, they finally said, "We did it. We've got it." But you know, even after that, they continued to experiment. It wasn't for another 30 years until 1910 that they finally developed the tungsten filament, which is still used in light bulbs today. Today, we take light bulbs for granted. We just come in and flick a switch and the lights come on. We don't think what it was like for those in the experiment room, those in the laboratory, those who were involved in the invention, who were making mistakes, who were taking little steps and learning from every mistake they made, learning from everything that they saw to make it slightly better, until the day they said, we've got it. But today, we don't know all of that. We just take it for granted. It is very easy for us to take Easter Sunday for granted. It's easy to transition from Jesus' death on the Friday to his resurrection on the Sunday without thinking what it was like for those who were actually there, for those who were discovering, for those who were experiencing the very first resurrection Sunday. It was just one surprise, one discovery, one after another. On Friday, we reflected on the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died having been whipped, having been mocked, having been nailed to a cross. His body was then taken down from the cross. It was briefly, quickly wrapped in grave clothes. It was hurriedly put into a tomb. A consignment of soldiers were stood out the front to guard it. And for many, that was the end of the matter. Jesus was dead, and the hope was that with his death, the followers would disperse, and, well, they hoped that was the end of the matter. At least that's the way the Jewish authorities were thinking. But 3 days later, on the Sunday morning, some women went to the tomb to give him a proper burial. They went to anoint the body correctly. But when they got there, things weren't as they expected it to be. The stone was rolled away. The body was gone. Mary Magdalene reported, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So she went and got Peter and John, and Peter and John came to investigate for themselves. And they went into the tomb, and they found the grave clothes lying there on the ground, empty. And it says that the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. All of this showed that this was not the work of a grave robber. No self-respecting grave robber would unwrap the body and then neatly wrap up the headcloth and put it to the side. Something else, something more unusual had happened. When John wrote this gospel, he was reflecting on his own experience, what he had seen and what he had felt. And so he described his experience this way. He saw and believed. John knew what he'd seen. He'd experienced something very, very significant. He knew it was real. He'd seen it. He believed what he saw. When I was a uni student, I was at church one night, and I saw this young lady singing. And her voice was beautiful, but what captured me was her smile. I saw her smile, and I believed I'd just seen someone very special. I saw and I believed that I needed to get to know this person much better. So after the service, I went straight round to visit. I saw and I believed that a relationship with this person would be a good thing. And so over the next few years, our relationship grew, and you can guess where this is going. This is for Kylie and I, and we got married. I had seen and I believed. Yet, to be honest, I didn't know or understand everything about Kylie. I'd seen enough to know that a relationship was worth pursuing, but I didn't know all there was to know. I still don't know and understand everything about Kylie. We've been married for 26 years. That's the beauty of marriage. You continue to get to know one another better. You continue to understand one another in more and more special and beautiful ways. And yet, at the beginning, I simply saw and believed that their relationship was worth exploring further. When John walked into the tomb and saw the body was missing and the grave clothes were empty, he had seen and he believed. He didn't know all that the future would hold. He didn't know what a future relationship meant with Jesus missing. But then Mary Magdalene had her personal encounter with Jesus, and I won't be unpacking that today, but she had met the risen Lord, And he had told her in John 20, verse 17, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So now put yourself in the position of a disciple. What would they have been feeling? Jesus' body was not in the tomb. The state of the grave indicated the body had not been stolen, so he must have been raised from the dead. Mary's testimony suggested this because she said she'd seen him. And if what she said was true, then Jesus had ascended to heaven to be with his Father. They couldn't prove this last part, but Jesus had told them that he would die, that he would be raised back to life, and that in the future he would return again. They just didn't know when. But in the meantime, they had a problem. The problem was that of the Jewish leaders. They're very upset. Their strategy for killing Jesus and seeing his followers disperse was not going to plan. So the disciples were together. They figured on safety in numbers, and they had the door locked as an extra precaution. You see, it is possible to see and believe and still not understand. I saw Kylie and I believed for a future together, but I still did not know everything about what that future would look like. John saw, he believed, but he still did not know what the future would look like. Now, have you ever had that experience where someone asks you a question? It might be in the pressure of an exam, or it might be in just general conversation. And they ask you a question, and you know something about what they ask. You know something important about it. You know that it would be really good to remember what it is that you just can't quite get at the moment. Maybe those of you who are younger don't know what I'm talking about, but you will. Because you see, as you get older, this happens more and more frequently. And you're sitting there going, I should be remembering this. There's something I should know. I just don't know what I don't know. And I think this is probably what the disciples were feeling. There's something going on. Jesus' body has disappeared. Mary Magdalene says she's seen him. She says that he's going up to be with his Father. And I think there's something else I should remember. There's something else I should know. And so what we see is that on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Jesus was in their midst. I actually think that was really kind of Jesus. I reckon that if he'd gone and knocked on the door, they'd have thought it was the Jewish leaders coming for him, and they'd have got really frightened. On the other hand, I just wonder how long he is standing there going, "Wonder when they're going to notice me." On the other hand, I reckon he'd have been really tempted to go, "Boo!" But he didn't. What he did was he simply came in and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And then after that, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Their reaction was one of absolute joy. It's real. He is alive. He has risen. And suddenly, all these pieces, all these things that they were trying to remember start coming back. They remember what they're trying to remember, because it had actually only been the previous week. It had only been some days beforehand that Jesus had talked to them about this. But you know, when there's a lot going on, a week can seem like forever. And so if we go back to John chapter 14, what we see there was Jesus had said to them, "I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Wow. He'd already told them in advance, only the week beforehand, what was going to happen. Well, what had he told them? Well, some of the things he'd told them was, I will come to you. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And a little later on in John chapter 14, in verse 28, he says, you heard me say I am going away, and I am coming back to you. And then two chapters later, in chapter 16, he said, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then, after a little while, you will see me. See, Jesus was making it really clear that he would go away, he would come back, and they would see him. He would come back to them, and when he comes back, he says that he would give them peace. That's why Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And again, two verses later, peace be with you. Jesus came and gave them peace. And oh, they needed that. They needed his peace with everything that's going on all around them. But he didn't give them peace just to stay behind locked doors. He commissioned them. He commissioned them and said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He's saying, I want you to go out into the world. I want you to continue the work that I've started here. I want you as my disciples to continue on to do the will of the Father. But you're not going to do it in your own strength. I am going to give you the Holy Spirit. And so with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know, in just a couple of verses, Jesus had said, peace be with you. I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. But you know, he'd already told them all of this. Because back in John 14, he had said to them, I will come to you. Guess what? He just came. He'd said to them, my peace I give you. He'd just come and said, peace be with you. He had said in verse 26 from John 14, the Holy Spirit will be sent in Jesus' name. He just breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He'd already told them what would happen. He'd told them beforehand that they would know and understand. And when we think about this aspect of receiving the Holy Spirit, back in John 14, this is what he'd said about the Holy Spirit. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Everything that I've said. The Holy Spirit would teach them everything that they needed. Oh, there are times where this reminds you of everything. I'd like that. But that's available. Luke's Gospel tells this part of the Resurrection Sunday in a very similar way to John. So let's look at the way Luke put this. Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. So this is the things from John 14 and others. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He opened their minds. Suddenly they understood. They understood the Old Testament. Well, in those days it wasn't called the Old Testament, it was the Scriptures. But today we would call it the Old Testament. The purpose of the Old Testament is that it points us towards Jesus. It tells us about Jesus. He then reminds them of what he had said, the words of Jesus, which today we have recorded in the New Testament. He then breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to remind you of everything I've said and to teach you everything that you will need to know. Remember the light bulb? We don't realise all the steps that had to take place by those inventing it. We just take it for granted. It is easy to take the Easter story for granted. Because we already have the stories and we've read them of the Old Testament. We already know what Jesus is saying because we've read the New Testament. We already have the Holy Spirit living within us and he's reminding us and teaching us and giving us revelation and understanding. But for John was on a journey. He'd gone into the tomb. He'd seen. He'd believed. But then, when he met Jesus, and when Jesus helped him to understand, suddenly He understood the Old Testament, the words of Jesus. He received the Holy Spirit. Especially this Easter, we need to take hold of these scriptures. Because there are a lot of people who are like the disciples. They're living behind locked doors. And like the disciples, are living in fear. Not fear of the authorities, but fear of what is happening in the world around about them. Particularly in relation to coronavirus. They see the number of people who are infected, the number of people who have died. They see the turmoil in nations. They are concerned what would happen in developing nations. There is fear and tragedy. And we are in isolation, locked down, and behind closed doors. But these words that Jesus came and spoke to his disciples who were behind closed doors and were living in fear speak to us today powerfully. Because Jesus has the power to overcome sin and death. He has the power to bring life and hope and healing and joy. And right now, Jesus is saying to those the same things he said to his disciples behind closed doors. He says, peace be with you. I want you to know and experience the peace that I can give you. He says to you that although you are behind closed doors, there is still ministry that you can do. I am sending you, and whether that is virtually by your phone, or by FaceTime, or by Zoom, or for someone who is maybe younger, fit and healthier, sending you to go and do something for someone who is elderly, who needs some shopping. There are things that you can do where he is sending you. And he's saying, don't do it alone. Do this through the power of the Spirit. Receive the power of the Spirit to give you revelation, to give you understanding. And as we talked about last week, we see that when God speaks to us, he speaks to us through the words of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Word of God, Scripture, and through the Spirit. He brings revelation and confirmation of the things that he is calling us to do, of the peace that he offers to us. And so, this Easter, wherever you are, and wherever you may be, maybe behind locked doors, know you have God's peace with you. Know there is purpose for you and that God is sending you to do what he needs you to do, that only you can do because he's uniquely called you to do that. And do that in the power of the Spirit and with the revelation of the Spirit showing you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So let's make a difference in the world this Easter. Let's be the disciples of Jesus Christ. Let us be a light wherever he calls us to be, right now, right where you are. And so let us take a moment and reflect on this. And what did God say to me today? I encourage you, let's now just take a moment of silence to stop and say, God, what are you saying to me right now? If I need peace, ask for it. If I need to know what he wants me to do, give me the courage to ask and the courage to do it. If I need Holy Spirit revelation, ask for it. What did God say to me today? And one of the things we know about John is he saw, he believed, he met the risen Lord, he received the Spirit, but then his life continued on in ministry, powerful ministry for decades to come. Why? Because he did it. He did something with it. And so now ask, what will I do with what I have heard? Take a moment between you and God, have that conversation. God, what will I do with what I've heard?
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.